Well, good afternoon. It is 4 o'clock. We will call the October 20th, 2025 Rogers Waterworks and Sewer Commission meeting to order. Our first item is the public forum, and I will open the forum for anyone that would like to address the commission. Seeing none, we'll close the public forum, and then we'll move on into the next item, which would be the action on our minutes. And I want to make sure that I know we had a couple of revisions that were sent out, so we're on R3, revision 3 that came out. So minutes from our meeting of September 15th were sent out in the packet. And I would entertain a motion to approve as presented September 15th, 2025.
Make a motion.
Second.
A motion and a second. Any further discussion? Seeing none, we'll all in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. So that's September the 15th. And so moving now into our next item, the reports, financial reports.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir.
This will be our financial report for the month of September. Starting with billed revenue and consumption in the water fund, we had billed revenue of almost $2.1 million. That's down 0.8% from September of 2024. If you look at billed revenue associated with consumption, though, it's up 3.3%, while water consumption itself was down 0.4%. And in the sewer fund, we had billed revenue of $1.7 million, down 4% from the prior year, but revenue associated with consumption is up 6.3%, with sewer consumption itself up 3.5%. This kind of continues the trend we've seen so far this fiscal year with that consumption year-over-year percent change being a little bit higher on the sewer side and a little bit lower on the water side. For water, though, back in July, we were down 8.1% from the prior year. For August, we were down 1%, and we're down 0.4%. So it looks like we're trending toward parity with the prior year as we get into the fall months here. For actuals versus budget, we are 3 months of the way through the fiscal year, so we use 25% as our benchmark. In the water fund, revenues are trending over that benchmark at 28%, expenses also over at 26%, and capital outlay at 12% of budget. On the sewer side, revenues are trending under a little bit at 24%, expenses at 25%, and capital outlay 7% of budget. And you can see I've added some additional detail here on the report. I've elected to show you the actual dollar outlay for capital on both water and sewer. So that 12% of budget, it equates to $1.2 million spent. And the 7% of budget spent on sewer is the same as $3.1 million. You know, if you're like me, if you look at the 7%, you think, 7%, that's basically nothing, right? But then if you see this number, you can appreciate that while it is lagging what we anticipated we'd be spending at least 3 months of the way through the fiscal year, it still represents a $3.1 million investment through 3 months. And so I think that's a little bit of helpful context to see as we look at these numbers each month. For year-to-date income or loss, we do have positive net income for both water and sewer. For the water fund, net income is $1.95 million, or 34% of our budgeted income. And for sewer, it's $1.63 million, or 24% of our budgeted income. And you can see I've got some notes here related to the prior fiscal year as well, with water and sewer income increasing after recognizing contributed assets revenue. We'll have another agenda item related to a budget amendment and this point later on in the meeting, but we'll kind of need to address it here too as we talk about the financials. So last month I was here and we reported a decreased net income due to additional depreciation expense in FY25, as well as some loss on disposal of assets, some meter asset records. And now we're showing an increase to net income, right? Well, we continue to work through our year-end procedures with our new audit firm, and this relates to contributed capital. So we're talking about those donated assets that developers construct, and then at their completion, they transfer ownership to us to maintain for perpetuity. And so when those transferals happen, we recognize the event. And historically, we've recognized an asset and a direct increase to equity. Our auditors have said, hey, these things really should flow through the income statement as non-operating revenue, which increases our net income. The net result is the same because a revenue account is a temporary account that closes at the end of the fiscal year. It closes, it rolls over to equity. So the net result is the same. It's just that it passes through the income statement along the way. And to visualize that, we'll look down here at this comparison of the monthly income or loss, which we also typically show you. I'll start with sewer because I have had this separate breakout line for ARPA grant revenue, if you recall that, down here at the bottom. Because we had those $2.5 million grants in the sewer department, and we had plugged the receipts of those in this column. Well, now I've just made that more, or excuse me, that row. I've made it more generic because now I'm calling it contributed slash grant revenue. And so the $6.4 million that you see for FY24 and the $4.5 million that you see for FY25, those are now inclusive of both the ARPA grant revenue as well as the value of the contributed capital, those donated assets that we received from developers. And I think showing them in this breakout line makes sense because like the grant revenue, this contribution revenue, you can see it can be high dollar and it can also be inconsistent in terms of when we receive it throughout the year. So for the sake of preserving kind of that monthly apples to apples comparison across years, it seemed to make sense to keep it in sort of a breakout line down here. And I've replicated that up here on the water side as well. So contribution grant revenue for FY24, $5.2 million. For FY25, $4.1 million. Assuming the commission approves our budget amendment tonight, I'll go in tomorrow and post a couple of reclassification entries to reclassify to revenue the contributed capital that we've received so far this fiscal year. So the next time I come back, you'll see a number there for FY26 as well. But you can see, right, the net effect of this is to increase our year-to-date income on the year. And so I've got this line at the bottom that says income per audited financial statements. And you see the little asterisk there for a note at the bottom that says beginning this month, this report has been revised to show the change in net position after capital contributions. So the water and sewer departments are, those are proprietary funds. So they don't technically have an income statement per se. They have a statement of revenues, expenses, and changes in net position. That change in net position is the proxy for our net income. It's presented two different ways in our audited financials. One as the change in net position before capital contributions, and then the change in net position after capital contributions. So nothing about what we're proposing tonight or to do in the future changes in any way our presentation of the audited financials. It's just how we treat those transactions initially and then subsequently how we report on them in our monthly reporting. So we're going to be presenting basically income or net position after capital contributions going forward.
Most important, it's a non-cash.
Non-cash, yeah.
And I went back and looked at the 2020 just to put those numbers. And those numbers, the income, I'm not sure how we recognize it under the old audit system, but it was the numbers in the 2024, it was the total number all balanced out. I mean, it's the non-cash entry, even though it shows in the revenue side to get to the balance sheet. But you end up in the same place. It is confusing. And I kind of even went to the part of when assets are contributed, because even in the footnotes in the audit statement it says that it's at fair market value. And I don't know how we determine the fair market value. But What I would say is it's non-cash. It's something that it has to be recognized, and they choose to do it through the, I guess, the income statement, where before we had a number, we either plugged that number somehow, but we got to the same endpoint.
They basically made that adjusting entry for us at the end of the year.
Yeah.
But the effect was that it has always increased our net position.
That's right.
We just took the shortcut straight to equity, and they said, well, you got to show it as increasing your net position over the fiscal year. So we'll revisit that later on tonight when we get to the budget amendment. Access and impact fee revenue, we collected just under $75,000 for the month, so a little bit lighter this month. In total for the year, we're at $603,000 for water and sewer. That's 19% of what we collected in FY25. It is 13% of our FY26 budget. So again, if you think of 25% being our benchmark, that's lagging. Right, it's lagging a little bit 3 months of the way through the fiscal year, but we also know those can be volatile in terms of when we receive those, and so we'll just continue to monitor access and impact fee revenue. For cash reserves, combined unrestricted and restricted across water and sewer, totals just under $59.1 million. That is an increase of $5.1 million from September of last year. And then finally, our purchased water unaccounted for, the 12-month rolling average, it holds steady at 7%. And that concludes my report.
Okay. Any questions, comments, financials? I know we'll spend some more time on that later because we've got some budget considerations to adjust. Anything else? Yeah. Financial reports. Let's bring down
some
engineering reports. Jared, thank you.
Good afternoon.
Hello. I'm going to start out with our solids handling project. They got the slab poured last week, the main part of the building slab. They've been working on the slabs for the boilers and the hoppers and all that stuff. So got the rest of the slab poured. Next couple of weeks, they'll be working on the dryer foundations themselves, which is an insulated slab, and doing some yard piping, things like that. The building steel and everything is also on site. And so that'll be after all the slabs and the concrete work is done. I know a big part of that, us being 7% on the sewer capital, is that we expected to have the dryer, all the submittals and everything complete and on site. We've got most of the pieces and parts on site out there. We won't make payment until all those submittals are done and all those pieces are on site. But I think we've probably got about 3/4 of the dryer parts in our yard in storage right now. And I think the billing, the payment applications have been lagging a little bit on this project, but moving forward, I think we'll probably start to see $1 billion plus payment applications. We've been seeing about $500,000. I'm just trying to get this project out of the ground. So I do see us accelerating on this project as we come up out of the ground. We completed a pole barn replacement. This was the pole barn back here in the back that was destroyed by the tornado. We had a metal building company come in and throw it up in 2 days for about $20,000. So that was, and of course, you know, we're looking at our a new field operations facility location out there on Oak Street. We've actually got a meeting to talk about next steps on that tomorrow. So this may not be a permanent fixture here. For the project status, we moved into the design phase for the PCF improvement project that we approved last month. I know we're still kind of in legal review for those contract documents, but I know the engineer's already taken some steps to get the survey planned out and do some floodplain modeling in there. So, and then moved into construction. We've got the 4th Street water and sewer improvements. I think they've got a pre-construction meeting scheduled for that one. The Blossom Way sewer lining, there's going to be a, I think they're going to do, have a kickoff meeting and do some, possibly even start some of the cleaning of that line next week. And then the asphalt rehab and repair, that project's going to have a pre-con this week. We finished up the shed replacement and also the 5th Walnut intersection improvements of our Kim Construction, not Kim. I'm trying to remember the contractor's name. But our field crews have finished that off. Any questions about the status of any of these projects here? Development review plans, we reviewed 160 total sets of plans. That's a new record for us. Of course, you know, a lot of those were signed permits and commercial plan reviews, but nevertheless, quite a few sets of plans came through the office this month. This is just kind of an example of some of the new development patterns that we're seeing. This is a preliminary plan for townhome development near Pleasant Grove Road. You know, where we used to see these quarter, third acre lots, this is just kind of an example of a lot of the newer developments that we're seeing. You've got small, narrow lots with little to no side setback, and a lot of these are actually going to be slated for townhomes. Very little front yard space, and so you know the trend is that all the utilities are getting pushed into the streets and alleys, and so this is kind of an example of what that looks like. Of course, we've got a lot of work to do on this particular set of plans. You know, there's a lot of crossings, but just throwing this up there to show you that, you know, where we used to be, you know, behind the sidewalks, in the front yards with plenty of space, we're now pretty much minimizing those separations between water, sewer, power, you know, telecommunications and storm sewer and things like that, and then competing for space with underground detention and everything like that. So it just kind of requires a higher level of a plan review for our staff.
So. How many units on this one?
This one, I believe, is 300 and something units. This is on the old Mills Farm property.
It's north of the, well, it would be south, well, north of the school property, and it kind of sits in there.
Correct.
I see my first Baptist, but it's kind of interesting that you, about 10 years ago, the density that, you know, council was worried about density of 20s, and, you know, it's, and you look up today, and then there's a subdivision that sits on that land
over my Solo Foods.
Whole Foods, and it's, I was kind of shocked at the density of that. I don't know, it's a, small parcel, but those look much like what you see here. I'm assuming zero lot lines, it's just compacted. Is there a point, though, that the density prevents us from being able to do, you know, the water, the sewer? Is it easier when you've got them all stacked in there like that, or is it
in some cases it is.
It just prevents you from being able to do density like
on
that.
On these townhomes, it presents an opportunity for some of those units to share a common sewer service. And, then we'll just, in that case, you know, we can reduce our footage of public main. You know, if they can have, you know, one sewer service that's coming out of the building serving 6 townhomes, you know, that reduces the number of connections on the main. The thing we've got to watch out for is to make sure that when they submit those covenants, that is considered a common element of the property. And so if the sewer's clogged up in unit 3 and it's backing up in 4 and 5, that's not considered a public main, and that we're responsible for their plumbing system. I think there are some opportunities, and we're really, it's been a learning curve for us to find ways to, you know, facilitate kind of the city's vision on what this development needs to look like.
Well, it's the density that we all, you know, again, it was a challenge early, and it was the more that you had vertical density, you now got horizontal density.
Exactly.
It's still density, but I think it's kind of interesting that you look at these projects today that, again, I can remember when, oh, we can't do, you know, RMF 20, that's unheard of, and you had, you know, the green space requirements and things that evidently are no longer applicable.
And then I think on a broader scale, you know, we've been looking at, you know, our overall sewer capacity, you know, over the whole city. If you recall, a few months ago, we had a design contract for Freeze and Nichols to update the sewer model based on these higher densities. And we're starting to see some of the results of that sewer model come in. Hopefully I'll have a full report next month. But what we're seeing is, I mean, in general, it's causing us to upsize those pipes by, you know, one size bigger compared to what we had in our initial sewer model that was completed back in a couple of years ago. So,
well, to me, the most important part is that City Hall has to understand that. Community Development has to understand that, because that's where it starts. Right. We're basically trying to figure out how to deal with what those decisions that get made, and it starts with John. I mean, these projects go to him first before they go any, you know, place. So it's working together with the city. But, you know, if the city approves it, we got to figure out how to deal with it. So I think it's got to be, we got to figure out how to deal with it, and then say City Hall doesn't work that way. So
I feel like
I encourage that.
I feel like to this point we've been well supported by everyone at City Hall.
Yeah, and that's good. Well, it has to work together. It's, they can't do it, we can't.
Absolutely.
Any more questions, comments, engineering, or anything else you got?
That's all. I just have this list of projects we reviewed. If you have any questions on that.
And thank you for putting those in. Give me a chance. It takes a while to kind of go through it and to figure out where some of those places are. And,
sure.
On a GIS map. So, but thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Next, pollution control.
Afternoon. Remember last month we were still lacking our last week of data as we were trying to get everything together. So we finally got those in, and I updated our ammonia, and let's see, they're 2.29. That's as close as we can get to 2.3 without going over. So we played the process right there. but we did come in under there, and it was a challenge, but my guys did a really good job of noting problems before we had test results in and getting that taken care of. So the biggest takeaway on our fog is we've had a little bit of struggle with the guys at Big Orange and their communication. It seems like they've been trying to comply, but they just haven't been communicating. So we've issued them a notice of violation on their to them, and also been working with the city, because some of their violations go hand in glove with the stormwater enforcement as well. So other than that, the fog program is going smoothly with very few problems, and I think Big Orange will get resolved fairly quickly. The Pinnacle Group has, you know, some common areas out there that they're in charge of, and so once the order gets figured out, I think that'll resolve itself. Part of our issue with our DMR was an issue that back in February we had agreed with Tyson Chicken Quick that they could upgrade change out an aged piece of treatment equipment that they had, and that we would cap their surcharges at what their typical surcharge was. That's the way we've always handled it. It wasn't anything unusual, and it didn't raise any eyebrows at the time that we come through that. When they actually did that work, it caused a lot of trouble out at the plant, and increased our, especially our CBOD loading, and as we broke that down, even some of our ammonia loading. But the bottom line is our aerators were maxed out. That was the reason for the ammonia getting so close as it was at, you know, being 2.29 instead of 2.3. We were running every aerator we had at 100% for 3 weeks, trying to get all that taken care of. It increased our solids loading as well. If you'll recall, we went a while back, I come in and talked about going to a 24/7 operation. That was whenever we were first seeing problems in the plant, but we didn't really know what was causing it at the time. We figured out that TCQ had slug loaded the plant. During the investigation and follow up on that, Paul figured out that their measuring device on their effluent weir was woefully wrong. It was really bad wrong. And it was underreporting their flows. Well, flows times concentration, it's a straight line graph. It's not a exponential or anything. So one's just as important as the other. And so once we figured that out, we figured out that's part of the reason why we missed on how much of a load they were going to be giving us, because we didn't realize how much of a load they had been giving us. So, you know, if we had known then what we figured out later, we probably would have handled that differently. But we figured it out kind of midstream, and we had already made some agreements and made some decisions on how that was going to go. So we've been working on trying to get that figured out. The plant was restored back to normal operating procedures halfway through the month. Probably I think we quit hauling off additional solids, and we've been compiling all of our data since then, so we can come to them with a fair discussion about, you know, what we can expect for them from help. Brent will be a large part of that discussion as we go forward. And then going forward from us out at the plant, we'll take a closer look at how we issue those notices of construction and how we give permission to go through in the future, because, you know, we'd like some better levers on control of industry that's in the process of slug loading a plant. You know, going from being able to do nothing from our position to just shutting off their water and canceling the jobs of a great deal of citizens, that neither of those seem like good options. So we'd like to maybe look at things where we can give ourselves some better options going forward. But we've only been doing surcharges for 8 years now, I think. So this is the first time we've really ran into this issue where we capped a surcharge and it bit us this hard. But that was the reason for that. That's just been our policy in the past. It's never been a problem. It was put there in an effort to encourage our industries to work with us. So that they let us know and we could understand that, hey, if you're improving your treatment system, it helps us both. We can, you know, maybe take a little bit of an issue for a month or even two in some cases, depending on, you know, what you're upgrading, and then move forward from that. So we can, you know, maybe cap their losses on an upgrade and kind of work together, because it benefits both the ratepayers, the utility, and the industry. But we were maybe a little too trusting in our previous policy, but we'll be looking at that going forward as well. So on the significant events, we're we've got our new check valve in, finally got all of our rebuild issues, I think, squared away. I think we've got our spares on the small and large pumps are still there, but we've got all of our in-use pumps have been repaired now. Let's see, we did have a very small overflow on September 23rd after those heavy rains, right, you know, had a few days right in a row. I think it ended up being like 11 and a half inches or something like that over 5 days. It was a lot. That last day got us. Our average daily flow for the month was 12.3 MGD. It was, I guess, 9 inches of rain over 9 events, and which is quite a bit more than the 3.3 typical. But that's the report I have. Do you guys have any questions for me?
We're good.
Thank you, guys.
I just say for the record, Todd and Steve, we were talking, if Paul would have found that problem when he did, maybe one day later, we'd be in a whole different spot.
Thank you, Brent.
We've learned a lot, and we're taking some action.
It's your topic. Thank you for that.
Okay, that concludes our reports.
No old business, so we will now move into new business. The first item is Resolution 25-30. That is a resolution amending the employee policy manual for the Rogers Water Utilities and for other purposes.
Good afternoon, everyone. So I'm presenting several changes to the existing employee policy. We've reviewed the current language with some new perspective, made some adjustments to ensure alignment with the Fair Labor Standards Act, improve some clarity in those definitions, and then streamline areas that just needed refinement. You've had an opportunity to review those seven instances. If there are no questions, I'm requesting your approval of the Resolution 25-30 to formally amend the policy.
Commission members, you have the policy, the resolution, and then also the policy changes were included in our questions.
I'll make a motion to pass resolution number 25-30, amending the employee policy manual for the Rogers Water Utilities and for other purposes.
We have a motion, second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries to approve resolution 25-30. Thank you very much. The next item is item 3, resolution 25-31, Rogers Water Utilities to purchase easements and rights of way for the Western Corridor or other purposes.
As you're aware, we've been working diligently on design plans for the Western Corridor water line, and we've begun. Release the appraisers to do all the appraisals and create offer letters for all the tracts of land south of Highway 264, so between 264 and Beaver's pump station. And in all transparency, we've already sent out offer letters contingent on commission approval for about $500,000 worth of easements at this point. And so staff is presenting this resolution to allow us to negotiate and purchase those easements up to the budgeted amount of this fiscal year, which is $1.5 million. I would be happy to answer any questions you may have.
When do you anticipate finalizing? Do you have a set date?
Well, we've sent out almost all of the offer letters for everything to the south. Generally, those negotiations take about 60 days. And so I would say by the end of the year, we should have purchased all those easements, unless there's any condemnations. Of course, that'll take additional time. For the remainder of the easements, I think that's gonna depend on the timing of the next phase of design. which includes some environmental permitting and also karst investigations, and whether or not we need to look at an alternative alignment for the water line. So,
could you go back with what you're saying? Could you go back to that map? Because that was the question I had. Is that we had the circle and that was the 1.5, but it goes from the valve 5-6 to in the other. Is that the other piece of that you're talking about?
So from 264 north, this is the part of greatest concern, the stretch in here. That kind of follows up this creek channel.
The 1.5, Ronnie, is within what we have identified here within the red, and then I had kind of drawn. It's the second part of that. We're not addressing this, just in the red.
I would not expect us to spend the full 1.5 million in the red.
Okay.
I think we're going to be close on the whole project.
Okay.
And so if we do need additional funds to secure easements for the entire project, once we're ready to do that, we'll come back to the commission to.
How many property owners are involved that we will be negotiating?
I believe there's about 38 tracts of land on this project.
Is that done by an outside? It actually does the negotiation.
It is. We've got contract land staff. So Garver's prepared all the easement documents.
Okay.
We've also contracted with contract land staff, and they have negotiators, and they have O'Brien Appraisals is their sub consultant that does. They do really professional work.
Okay.
Okay. What did this come to on average per square foot or per acre? Do you know?
I don't have that information in front of me, but you know, I hate to give you something that isn't accurate, but it's been fairly consistent, and it looks like our million and a half is gonna be about right for the entire project.
But that number was based upon current appraised values.
Correct.
So someone's done preliminary work with it. It's a matter of doing some math. You should figure out how many square feet are.
It's looking at pre.
I'm backing into 1.5, but.
Yeah, pre-existing value versus the property's value after we take these.
I make a motion to approve resolution number 2531.
Second.
Have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries to approve resolution 25-31. Acquisition. Okay, the next item is it's a design contract amendment number 2 for the Western Corridor Transmission Main. And we have a recommendation. Staff recommendation.
Yes, as you're aware, Garver's, we've had them do the preliminary engineering reports and the preliminary studies, and they've been working through the 30% plans to nail down this alignment. And so this is a contractor amendment to finish out the job and get us through bidding. And so $759,000, this will complete the environmental assessments. And should we need to realign some of that northern portion, this will take care of some of the rework involved in the cultural surveys, environmental surveys, and also the electrical resistivity, karst ground scanning, and everything that we'll need to do for that. And also get us to 100% design and bidding. So the total amount comes in right under 1.5 million for everything they've done so far. For a $30 million project, you know, we're in that 5% territory, which is a pretty good value for design services.
Motion to approve.
Let me make sure, if you would, if you'll hold on just a second. It just, again, we have staff recommends approval of design contract amendment. This would be the amendment number two in the amount of $759,900, bringing the total amount of design fees to $1,475,100. Staff further request authorization to negotiate the final form and content of that amendment. And with that, I would entertain a motion. All right. Motion. Thank you.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. For the staff recommendation contract. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries to approve the contract amendment.
Thank you.
All right, now we'll move on to item number four, and that is, again, we'll also have, I'm just going to read that, it's a recommendation. Staff request authorization to negotiate the final form and content of the facilities extension agreement for the Walden multifamily development to include cost participation in the construction of public water and sewer extensions in the amount of $219,426 with an additional $20,000 in contingency, with the total cost being up to $239,426. And with that, moment comments.
So this is a this is the site of some of the damaged property on 24th and Walnut that was taken out by, it was the building that was completely destroyed by the tornado kind of crossing the Popeyes there. So this is being redeveloped into a multifamily facility. This will be an affordable housing initiative. The city of Rogers, it, really this wouldn't be doable if the city had not kicked in funds to provide the public works improvements. So that includes some of the street improvements. The street department is also extending the storm drain through the site, pretty extensive storm drain improvements. And they've also asked us to provide water and sewer improvements. I will point out that the sanitary sewer on here, we had planned to make these sanitary sewer improvements as part of our Chateau sewer project, which we've been coordinating in concert with this design firm. And so this is the sewer is money we would have spent anyway. Matter of fact, it'll probably be less costly to do it as part of this project. And then the water line is only the public portion up to the hydrant. The fire line is not part of that agreement, of the water line improvements. And so there's the cost estimate for the water and sanitary sewer. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
This is going to be affordable housing, correct?
That is my understanding.
I'd make a motion to approve.
Okay. So what we have is it's approval of the staff recommendation, our request for authorization. We have a motion by Janae.
Second.
Any further discussion on the Walnut Commons multifamily development? All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Okay, the next item we have is it'd be item number five, and it's titled be change order two. It's Oak Street from 52nd to Dodson Road. And in this, we have a recommendation to approve the change order number two in the amount of $149,328, bringing the total contract to $891,869.66. So when we get to that point, I would entertain a motion on that action.
Some of you may remember this image. I bring it up again because I do need to apologize. When we had change order one for this project, my understanding was that it was for everything that's kind of marked off here. And we had plans for all of it approved. And I talked with the city and I asked, is this for all the changes that we had designed? They said yes.
Apparently, the city had not finalized their portion for this section coming down. They'd only approved for the roundabout and to the north of it. So when I brought it, I said, is this for all of it? They said, yes, it was not. It was just for the roundabout. So change order here is to get the added extension for the part that the city has now gotten their plans approved. So it added an additional 500 feet of water line, 563 feet, I believe. But it so there is a little bit more that we needed to add on, which is why change order two has come in. I wanted to be clear about, you know, when I originally brought it, I said it was for all of it. It was, in fact, not. We did it all on unit pricing, so it's what they didn't charge us extra for it. But I wanted to be clear when I brought it back.
Is this new line or expansion of the existing service? What is this?
This is new line for the Dodson. We had, at one point in time, when the bond came through, we had redesigned all the water line for Dodson. When they did Oak Street here, they decided to include some of that design for Dodson. There is an existing 8-inch water line on Dodson. We are replacing it. So it is replacing of existing, but it does need to be replaced, and it was part of that design.
Okay. Well, I think it's good. I mean, it needs probably to be upsized and replaced, because that's all going to develop the roundabout, and even the part that's been completed is done a nice job. And then the cut through, you know, now to Oak Street extension, that eventually goes all the way out, I'm sure, to Rainbow under another bond issue. But that whole Dodson Road needs to be addressed. Yeah, so this is at least our part of it. So, okay, so we have a staff recommendation, and I would entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion for change order to Oak Street from 52nd to Dodson.
Have a motion?
Second.
Second page. Further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries to approve the change order for Oak Street to Dodson. Okay. We now have item number 6 on our new business. It's the engineer staff recommending approval of the change order 1. For the addition of 1,185 feet of 24-inch steel line for change to the contract price of Blossom Way for $173,965, bringing the contract to $2,270,819.
So I think probably 2 months ago, we came to get the lining approved. And at that point in time, we had not figured out exactly what we're going to do to fix the 30-inch FRP in this area. There were a couple different options floating around, one to replace in place, which would leave the 24 as is, and the other one was to combine the two sewers into one 42. We've kind of worked with a consultant a little bit and figured out that combining is going to be our better option, which means we don't need to line the 24 in that section, but we do need to get this section that is still gonna be remaining. We weren't sure, we didn't wanna put it out to bid, not knowing what the construction would be. So this is the only 24 sewer that we do need to replace, and then in the future, once we get those plans finalized and approved, then we'll be coming back for the construction on those. But right now, we were using the existing contract price and the existing unit price that we got approved last time, just adding in the additional footage for this section. This will allow all this 24 to be lined. They're gonna clean it and remove any of the oxidation that's in the pipe, and we'll have that ductile iron be good for significantly longer time.
So does this one get replaced? I'm a little confused. I apologize. Mm-hmm. So does this get replaced at some point, or does it continue as is? Can we do a 42?
So the 42 is going to be replaced to the south. So this manhole will be the end. We'll be coming back in with a new line connecting to this manhole. And then to the south here is a little bit cut off. there's a new manhole. This little section right here, if you can see where my mouse is, is the first emergency repair that we ever did on this Blossom Way section that had collapsed. So there's just a shorter section there, and we'll be connecting there as well with the new construction.
So you'll go from a 42 down to a 24?
We plan on putting 230s coming out of the, it'll be a diversion box because it'll be 142 coming in and then 230s coming out. We'll be able to handle the flow of that 142 with the 230s. But we don't plan on at this time upsizing because we're not at that capacity yet. That's build out capacity. So we'll be able to handle this flow for a while.
Okay, so are there two 24s here?
Right now there's the 30 FRP and the 24 ductile iron that are existing, and they're both going in the same direction.
Side by side, please.
Yes, ma'am.
Aaron, we replaced that FRP with 30 ductile iron in that area, right?
Yes, sir. We've got everything from here south, from New Hope South, is new ductile 30 that replaced the FRP.
So this isn't, since this is ductile, it's not what's...
Correct. It's not having structural problems on the outturn from the pressures, but the coatings on these ductiles, they only last so long. This pipe's been in for quite a while, and the coatings on the inside that protect it from the sewer gases are failing, so we need to put a liner in there that would be resistant to, I hate to say, impervious to the corrosion of sewer, but... significantly more resistant.
Well, we have before us a staff recommendation to approve change order one for the additional 1185 feet. Total contract price $2,270,819. And with that, I would entertain a motion.
Motion.
Question to approve.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any further discussion? All in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries to approve change order one for the Blossom Way sewer drain line. Okay, the next item will be numbers. It would be budget amendment. With this, and I know we've got, there are a number of changes, but we will need to approve that. What we just do is collectively is all, it's one general approval of all budget changes because there's individual pieces to that, yes. If that makes sense.
Yeah, I think so, Mr. Chair. I was thinking it would be a motion to approve the annual budget as amended, or also you should say to approve all the budget changes amended.
Well, that's yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I agree. One motion to do it.
Well, that's what I just want to make sure, because I know there are a lot of individual changes, Robert. I just said, so what I'll be asking for at some point will be approval of the FY26 amendments as presented.
And this is it. This is our complete budget book. It's okay. Just got some highlighted changes here and there. So this basically takes the place of our previously adopted budget book.
Okay. So, and again, for commission members, for the clarity, you know, there are a number of changes. We're not going to spell out each one of those to make a motion. We just do basically across the board a motion for all the amendments.
That's correct. Okay. A motion to approve the amended budget as presented.
Okay. Okay.
And if you don't mind, I'll tell you what's changing.
No, we don't want you to do that. But okay. I just want to make for clarity because we didn't have, I don't think they're all specifically spelled out.
Right.
You need that for the records. So.
Thank you. So, what I'll do is, you can see I've got some yellow highlighting here and there. I'll start with, and I'll try to keep this brief, it doesn't need to be long, but just to explain what's changing here. This is the list of the Water Department capital projects, and in this list is where you see contributed capital. And you see that dollar amount under the column for additions and improvements, $4,177,000. This is the only capital project that's not an outlay of funds on our part, right? But we choose to show it here in this capital projects list anyway. I'll note that we've taken the opportunity now to revisit the numbers that we originally had included in the budget. So for the water department, we originally had $3,390,000. Well, now 3 months into the fiscal year, we've got a better idea about what these different projects are doing throughout the city, and we feel like this revised number of $4,177,000 is a better estimate, and so we've increased that amount as shown here. So if you look at the bottom of the column here for additions and improvements, it's now $8.7 million. And what I'm going to do, just to show you where this falls, is go back up to the cash basis budget and show you, here we are, the cash basis budget for the water department, the FY26 budget. There's that $8.7 million figure, right? The additions and improvements in the water department. So it shows up here, but then we immediately back it right back out because it's not a cash outlay for RWU, and that's where you see the negative $4.1 million. So to the chairman's earlier point at the bottom here, there is no net cash effect of this on our budget. However, if we scroll to the next page here and look at our accrual basis budget, this is where you see the difference. In the FY26 budget column now, I've added that $4.1 million under a new revenue account that we're calling contributed capital. So we've got our estimate in there for FY25. We've got a revised budget for FY26. You can see that it is increasing the total revenue, the budgeted revenue for the fiscal year. And then I've also highlighted the expenses total here because since we increased, I said, that amount of the capital contributions, that's more assets. Those are assets we have to depreciate over time. So I just tweaked the depreciation budget to go along with this. I could make that estimate, so I thought, why not, right? So we've got increased revenues. We've got a slight change to the expenses, and that leaves us with a revised budgeted net income of just over $9.9 million on the water fund.
As assets come in, so we've put this in for our 2026 budget, but as assets, you're trying to anticipate what assets, this would be the total amount of assets we think that would be contributed.
Yes. Yeah.
But there's the potential for other assets as things come online. And do we just keep track of that and add that in?
Sure.
Does it become another amendment down the road?
I wouldn't anticipate another amendment. I mean, we've got projections for all of these revenue, all these different revenue streams up here. So unless something is just markedly different, it'll just be a variance to budget. But unless there's something dramatic. But we do have from the engineering department a list of specific projects and estimated values that go into these numbers for both water and sewer. So it's not just a shot in the dark, but it is informed by the projects we see coming down the pipeline here. I'll scroll down to sewer and just show you that as well. And I'll do the same as with water. We'll start by looking at the capital projects list for sewer so you can see where it makes its first appearance right here in the sewer department capital projects. You can see the budgeted number now is $2,524,000. That is an increase from the original budget of $2,168,000. Again, that's in the column for additions and improvements. In the sewer department, that number in total is $31.6 million. So I'll scroll back up to the cash basis budget and show you that. Here's our cash basis budget, FY26, $31.6 million of additions and improvements. We immediately back out the contributed capital of $2.5 million. No net cash effect, but in our accrual basis budget, you see that new revenue there, $2.5 million, increasing our total revenue. Tweak to expenses for additional depreciation for a revised budgeted net income of $9.3 million in the sewer department. So pretty straightforward, but we did feel that a budget amendment was necessitated as a result of implementing that recommendation from the audit firm. If we hadn't have done this, then our actuals versus budget would be skewed the rest of the year, so we felt it was important to go ahead and amend the budget for this purpose. But we'd be asking you from the staff perspective just to approve this amended budget as presented tonight.
Were you in agreement with the auditors about this, or is
sure,
it right?
Sure. I mean, in effect, they were posting a reclassification entry at the end of the year. Anyway, it's just not something that our prior auditor prompted us, I guess, that we could be doing throughout the year. So what we're really doing is just aligning our interim presentation of the monthly financials to be aligned with how they're presented at the end of the year.
Travis, that's what I went back, because I was this kind of heavy intrigued in looking at how Landmark did it. And again, in that audit, you kind of ended up in the same place. Mm-hmm. But they, and I don't say they plugged a number, but that number, it was more of the kind of after everything was kind of calculated, it's like, okay, this is contributing capital. The numbers all aligned, but it was just, this is a different way of approaching rather than not running it through the income statement. And it's all non-cash. It's a non-cash, it hits the non-cash. It also, the appreciation is the non-cash. But for our ongoing, as we get our maintenance and operation, we have to maintain it. We got assets we got to take care of over that period of time. But it had a little bit, again, kind of perplexing as to how one kind of pharmacist did it this way, plug it over, and this one says run through the income.
To me, I see no.
But you end up in the same place.
And we'll see this again. At some point when we've got the city's contribution for our Huber equipment out of the pollution control facility, we have the agreement from the city to contribute about $1 million towards that equipment purchase. And once we reach that milestone of having the approved submittals, we'll pitch in a little bit towards that milestone payment, as will the city. And even though we're not getting cash in ourselves, they're just helping us pay the invoice, basically paying the vendor directly, we're still going to be recognizing the value of that asset, because that will be our asset going forward, right? So it'll function the same way. It'll be a type of grant revenue for us that will fall into this same bucket on the sewer side.
Make a motion to approve as presented. Okay. The amended budget as presented.
Motion.
I'll second.
Second. All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries to amend the FY 2026 budget.
Thank you.
The last item is item number 8, and that is resolution 25-32, and that's a resolution authorizing an encroachment agreement with Pinnacle Springs Residential LLC and for other purposes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This pertains to the encroachment agreement at the Pinnacle Springs subdivision. A few months ago, the commission passed a resolution authorizing an encroachment agreement with Pinnacle Springs LLC. When we got the encroachment agreement back, it turned out that the property, according to the developer, the encroachment is actually on property owned by Pinnacle Springs Residential LLC. To make all the land records match up, I'm asking for this resolution to enter into that agreement with Pinnacle Springs Residential LLC. I think what that means is that the encroachment's on the apartment side instead of the retail side.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Clear. I would entertain a motion.
Okay. Motion. Second.
Second. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
The motion carries to approve resolution 25-32.
Thank you very much.
With that, we have concluded all items of new business. Anything else to come for the commission?
Motion.
Motion, guys.
Second.
You are adjourned.